Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of June, recording at 9:38 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets in Asia were mostly weaker, including the China A shares and also the B shares. B shares took quite a hit, and that index had been strong until about a month ago. We had a very modest gain in Australia and also Japan. European stock markets were a little bit higher across the boards today. Best gain was the DAX, up 1.41%. And in the Americas, we had gains as well, with the S&P. Well, Wall Street closed off the highs. The S&P was up, I think, 12 points at one stage, but it pared that back. It closed at 1289. That's up nearly 9.5 points and 0.741%. Long-dated government bond prices for the U.S. 30-year treasuries, they reached a new rally high in the morning, but then fell back, couldn't maintain the move, and closed down. They're currently down 12 ticks. That's 12:30 seconds as I speak. And the U.S. dollar, a little bit firmer in here today against the euro and also sterling, but weaker against the Canadian dollar, which has bounced. The yen's also a little bit weaker in here today. Precious metals had a good day. Gold, 1544 as I speak, nearly 1545. The platinum price also firmed, 1844. We had palladium up 10, 816. Silver also steady, 37.51. The industrial metals were mostly a little firmer. I'm just checking that. Exceptions were zinc and aluminium, but they had tiny, tiny declines. But these are not big rises, though, where they did gain. What we did see, though, is that crude oil closed higher. We've got WTI at 101.85, but more importantly and worryingly, we have Brent up to 119.60. And corn hit a a new high for the year, and only closed slightly off that. Currently it's 7.85. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, as we've said in every one of these audios, Owen and I, for months, we're in a corrective phase. And I don't think it's over. It's encouraging to see it interrupted by periodic rallies rather than turning into a self-feeding slump. I think because over time a moderate rally will certainly be less traumatic and probably less and have less of an influence. A moderate decline, rather, gradual decline, have be less traumatic for investors and also for the economy in all probability. But I want to talk about the sentiment factor here, because first, in terms of what stock markets are doing, it's something that we've talked about really for quite some time. You go back a few months and markets were very overextended, most of them relative to their 200-day moving average. You go back to last November, and leading markets such as the ASEAN sector were overextended and were clearly susceptible to mean reversions towards their towards their MAs, which the ranging activity has helped to produce. In this year, we had seen Wall Street get really quite overextended relative to its MA, and we knew all about the we certainly spoke extensively about the spike and moderate spike, I've described it as, but it occurred quickly. It was definitely a spike in crude oil prices, along with the overall strength of commodity markets, as causing problems. Described early in the year, as you might recall, as a big opportunity in terms of upside scope in many commodity markets, but also certain to become the next big problem. Well, we've been living with the problem now for several months, and it's taking its toll in economic terms and also in terms of sentiment. And that has also prompted growth economies to raise interest rates, as we know. Well, I don't think we'll get many more interest rates here, not in the short term, with markets correcting and growth slowing. But will we get further pullbacks in stock markets? Well, on a very short-term basis, after 5 days on the downside consecutively for Wall Street and some of the other markets, we have a very short-term oversold position. So we can get a modest rally, but I don't think that the rally that we see today in Europe and on Wall Street, I don't think that's likely to gain much traction, not with Brent crude back up to 119.6. That would affect sentiment in the U.S., but it may well affect it in other parts of the world. And again, this is a seasonally unfavorable time. Go back to the U.S. market. What concerns me a whole lot more than unseasonal factors is the weakness of the banking sector, so often described by us as a as a lead indicator. So this corrective phase, and I think Owen's described it, and I may have as well, saying that the best case scenario in this corrective phase is mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages. But it should be noted that there are an increasing number of stock markets that have just been range-bound for many months, and their MAs have flattened out or even turned down in some instances, and we're not seeing that crisscrossing, and the stock markets have been crisscrossing either side of those of MAs. It's only some of the strongest ones still where we have seen positive pullbacks, or are still seeing positive pullbacks towards those MAs, and must be said that includes it includes Wall Street. Currency is a big factor in here. If you look at the Swiss market, it hasn't done anything in over a year in strong Swiss franc terms. If you look at that chart in U.S. dollars, it rallied up to its, can't remember whether it was the 2007 or the 2008. Peak, where it's encountering some resistance. So currency's been a big factor in flattering that U.S. stock market performance. The sentiment factor that I wanted to mention, though, is that, and I've talked since I got back from holiday on Monday, I've talked about the possibility and probability, actually, that these corrective phases end with a bit of capitulation selling. And that can, in a minor economic downturn, that can be wound up fairly quickly. In a horrific economic downturn, such as 2008, you get a much, much bigger setback. Well, I'm certainly not looking for that, but I think there's a risk that we do get a temporary phase of capitulation selling sometime between now and mid-October, probably, or the end of October. So it's still a tricky period in here. And it's a tough environment in which to make money, and it's markets. I would not assume that markets that are showing very good relative strength today will remain, and such as Indonesia's classic example, and the ASEAN sector generally, and that's a sector that Fuller Money likes very much, as you probably know, and have for the last decade. But I would not assume that those markets that are really quite strong today on a relative basis will avoid any capitulation selling. Will it be a huge decline? I doubt it. But any decline is uncomfortable while one is experiencing it, if it occurs, particularly if it occurs rapidly and in a nervous market environment. But what all of us need to remember here is that when markets correct, whether it's a mean reversion correction or something towards the MA or something bigger, that you can guarantee that sentiment will deteriorate. And when sentiment deteriorates, you can also guarantee that people will write more and more hypotheses in terms of economic events to explain what's actually going on. And some of those will have legs or be valid, and a lot of others will be fears and extrapolations and overreactions. And sentiment is invariably worst at the lows. So what I don't want to do, and I don't think any of you want to get caught up in a panicky attitude when this gets worse before it gets better. Chances are we have seen most of the correction for most of the markets. I'll say that again. The chances are that we've seen most of the correction for most of the markets. Now, that would include certainly the markets that have had some reasonably significant pullbacks to their MAs. It would not include markets, the few markets that are testing the year's highs. And I think what is also very important to remember is that when market sentiment, again, repeat that point, when market sentiment is at its very worst, but I'll add now that that's when you have the good buying opportunities. Now, veteran subscribers know that, and veteran investors everywhere know that. It's hard to keep that in mind when sentiment really does deteriorate. And I repeat that point because the saddest thing in my financial career has been seeing when the big bear markets occur. And I think I'm not certainly not forecasting anything like that. Some markets may fall enough to qualify as a small bear market. I mean, most people use the 20% figure. And I think there are a lot of markets that won't go down that far. But I should say, well, the saddest thing that I've seen in my financial career is that when we do get the big overall corrections, and sometimes on just the scary, smaller, somewhat smaller corrections, when I see people, friends, subscribers involved in the capitulation selling, that I do find disturbing because they lose a lot of money and they don't get back in. Excuse me. When the market turns, or not enough of them do. And So that's when the emotions take over. And people who are acting under duress are seldom in markets are seldom acting wisely. So I think at this stage we need to bear in mind that if markets pull back sharply, and having said that, the best case scenario for these markets is moves back to the rising MAs. The worst case scenario is we get a mini bear market statistics for. That's my worst case scenario for a number of these stock markets. That would create the buying opportunities, and I will participate if that happens. Can't guarantee it will happen. And in the best case scenario, it obviously would not be happening. Okay, enough said. Don't want to. I'm starting to repeat myself. Long-dated government bond prices. One thing that I've overlooked here, and as I'm in a short position on the 30-year bonds, not big enough to have me standing in the window ledge, but big enough to be painful. One thing that I overlooked, and a point mentioned so often, though, on other occasions, I'm a little annoyed with myself for having overlooked it, is that in my overall bearish view, I'm too strongly allied with sort of the Bill Gross view that these levels are historically too low, these yield levels are historically too low, there's vastly too much debt around. The US balance sheet is not healthy, and that yields, long-dated government bonds are a very lousy investment, and I think that's all true. But the point that I should have kept in mind as well is particularly when looking at those bank shares. Why are bank shares going down? Well, they've still got a lot of toxic assets on their books. Banks have also been under a great deal of pressure to raise more capital, and we really should have higher capital adequacy requirements, more like those that we see in China, for instance. Now, for the bank, which needs to well, is very concerned about the toxic assets on its balance sheet, or should be. I'm sure they are today. The bank that's also being exhorted to increase lending by the White House, well, they're not going to do it. Why should they take the risk in an uncertain economic environment of adding more bad debts, especially when, although QE2 is coming to an ending, you've got Bernanke saying that interest rates are going to remain very low for an indefinite period. So provided, and this is a big proviso, provided the bond market is not taking fright, the so-called bond vigilantes are not heavily selling U.S. treasuries, those banks can still nip in, borrow money at the discount window from the Federal Reserve at practically zero interest rates or minimal interest rates, and leverage that up in long-dated treasury futures, getting just under, I think it's just around the 3% level for the 10 years, and something like 4.2 or 4.3 on the 30-year long-dated government bonds. Well, they won't, in doing that, and that's probably a smart thing for them to do. They won't be worrying about the long-term bearish prospects. All they're interested in is taking that yield out and recapitalizing their balance sheets. And this is something that veteran subscribers will know. We've talked about for decades when the U.S. or any other commodity economy gets into serious trouble. Then and with a credit crisis, they wind up recapitalizing the balance sheet, recapitalizing the banks rather, recapitalizing the financial sector through the yield curve, and so that's what's happening in here still. My feeling that rally is is over or mostly over, and that yields at today's levels are discounting. If we were to try to say what sort of economic scenario are they discounting, it would be a much worse than I think is likely to actually be the case. But it is still an attractive play for these banks, who I'm sure are watching those charts very, very closely. And as long as the U.S. long-dated government bond yields are inching down, and the bond prices are inching higher with higher reaction lows, as long as you have that trend consistency, which we've seen over the last 2 to 3 months, then they'll stay with those positions. What it does mean is when that uptrend cracks in long-dated government bond prices, or the downtrend in long-dated government bond yields cracks, also the short-term decline, the short-dateds declines in yields, when those trends start to reverse, they'll probably do so quite rapidly. Okay, what else? Gold. Well, my only concern about gold is there are two, and they're not huge, but it's the fact that this is an un a period of underperformance seasonally. That doesn't always exert a toll. And the other factor is that if we do see some capitulation selling in stock markets, I would feel that that would spread to the safe haven assets as well, at least in terms of precious metals. For the most dramatic example of that happening, remember what happened in 2008. Again, repeat myself for the third time, I don't think we're going to see anything remotely close to 2008 in stock markets, but that did drag gold down one heck of a long way, although it still fell less than just about anything else. My preferred script in the gold market does not care what my preferred script is, of course, or anyone else's preferred script, but it is that we have a quiet period here, just in terms of support building, and then take off again in September, which has been a seasonal pattern for really quite some time. All seasonal patterns, like all winning streaks, like all trends, eventually stop working. So it may not happen this time. Precious metals, the steadiness that we have seen suggests that they could go sooner rather than later. But it's a don't know. At least for me, I'm still at this stage. Tricky time. It's still tricky time overall in terms of what to do in these markets, and it's probably best to keep relatively low profile, but to think about what are going to be the next big plays. I'm convinced that there will be another big play, as reasonably convinced as one can be in an uncertain world, in precious metals to the upside. So, from an investor standpoint in a bullion fund and with an unleveraged position in a bullion fund, you'll sleep. You should be sleeping well at night. It's the leveraged trades that are a little bit more tricky here right now. Also, if we get some genuine capitulation selling, we should have some cash on hand. In genuine capitulation selling in stock markets, we should have some cash on hand today to take advantage of that situation. And I've run on too long in this audio, so all the best.